her response to her Savior. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. The resurrection of her brother, the life of her brother, was the very most important thing you can imagine on her life at that very moment. The resurrection of God's saints is the most important thing on God's mind as Jesus raises Lazarus from the grave. But this isn't the only time recorded that God has raised someone from the grave. The first person in the Bible is the resurrection of the son of a Gentile woman in Zarephath. God sends Elijah. This is the background, if you may remember. There's a drought. So God calls Elijah and sends him to Zarephath to help a woman and her son. He arrives at the town. The woman's gathering sticks, putting together her last little bit of flour before they both die, her and her son. And yet, this will be the miraculous story also of the jar is not spent, because the flour will never empty until afterwards. So she bakes a cake. She has the flour essentially forever until the drought is ended. And her son dies anyway. She's angry with both Elijah and with God. And yet Elijah, ignoring her grief, cries out to God, stretches himself over the dead body of the young man, and returns the child's life. And God resurrects him from the dead. Because they were important to God. After Elijah is taken to heaven, the prophet, right? And you know what that's all about. Chariot comes down, swishes him up alive, takes him off to heaven. God chooses his successor, Elisha. And Elisha, too, will resurrect a boy from the dead. The boy is working in the fields with his father, and all of a sudden, about midday, he has this horrible headache. Pain intensifies, and he dies. So his mother, right away, is searching for the prophet. Elisha finds him. So Elisha sends his servant ahead, Gehazi, because he can run a whole lot faster back to see the boy. To take Elisha's staff and to sit it, put it on the boy himself, to see if that will raise him from the dead. But he wasn't successful with that. So now Elisha finally arrives. He prays to God and lays on top of the boy. The boy's dead body all of a sudden begins to warm. Can you imagine that? All of a sudden, that cold body is starting to warm again underneath Elijah. Then the boy sneezes seven times, and his eyes open. The boy and his mother are important to God. Then there is a more, I will call it, obscure resurrection. Elijah dies. He's put in the ground. He's buried. But before he's covered up with dirt, a dead man's body is thrown on top of him. And the dead man's body rises after touching Elisha's bones. Very much alive. That's the Old Testament. Twice, with Elijah, to count the time that he's already dead, God has raised somebody, and then once with Elijah. New Testament. Jesus just happens to be going to the town of Nain. Well, you and I know Jesus doesn't just happen to do anything. He's there for a purpose. Immediately there's a funeral procession. What does Jesus do? Walks up to it, touches the bier, talks to the mother. He has, we're told, compassion on her. Now, this mother is also a widow. But he says to her, "Do not cry." And he commands the dead body of this boy to get up. And the boy just sits up and begins to talk. The widow and her son are important to God. And then there's the synagogue ruler, Jairus, who falls at Jesus' feet disagrees. But you may remember along the way, with the crowds all around him, a woman comes up to him who's been bleeding for 12 years, just touches him, and the bleeding stops. Before he arrives at the house of Jairus, finds word that the daughter was dead. No need in coming. But Jesus goes anyway. Jesus arrives and he tells those gathered, mourning the girl, do not weep, for she's not dead, but she's sleeping. They stop weeping to laugh at Jesus and what he's just said. And Jesus, well, he resurrects her. Jairus, his daughter, and the woman were all important to God. And today our gospel lesson right before us, of course, is Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. His sisters Mary and Martha send for Jesus to come, but Jesus doesn't come right away. You're starting to get a pattern here. Jesus delays a little bit, delays again, waiting until Lazarus has died. And now by the time Jesus arrives at Bethany, he's been dead and buried for 4 days. Tells them to unseal the tomb. Martha's going, oh no, he's been dead for 4 days. Nobody ever does that. There's going to be a stench. But they listen to Jesus. They roll away the stone. Jesus commands Lazarus to come out. And Lazarus does. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are important to God. Those of you who have been following along with us on our Wednesday Lenten series know that at the moment Jesus dies, there's some miracles. Miraculous curtain in the temple rips in half. The earth quakes. The tombs crack open and bodies of many holy people, many saints, go into the town after the resurrection of Jesus. We don't know their names. We don't know how many there are. But their appearance surely would have astounded everyone. The resurrection message is important to God. In the early church, God resurrects someone through the Apostle Peter. Her name, anybody remember? Tabitha, also called Dorcas. When she dies, the people in her hometown send for Peter to see if he can do something. When he arrives, the first thing he does is he kneels and he prays right alongside of her dead. Then he turns to the dead woman and tells her to get up. She opens her eyes, sees Peter, and she sits up. Tabitha was important to God. Biblical resurrections are not done yet, not by any stretch of the imagination. God resurrects someone through the Apostle Paul. His name is Eutychus. You may remember how it goes. Eutychus is preaching Paul is preaching long into the night. This young man, Eutychus, somehow gets to the third floor window and is sitting in the window there, falls out. Boom. Three stories, and he's dead. Paul rushes down, throws his arms around the young man, and what happens? His life is restored. Eutychus is important to God. Where these are all what I would call amazing, eye-popping resurrections, the most important resurrection, most significant is, of course, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior from the dead. Because that signals to us that the victory belongs to God. The victory belongs to Jesus. And that changes everything. By raising from the dead, he has power over death, and he shows it over Satan. And he frees us from that now grip of death. We no longer have a fear of the grip of death in our lives. God's not done yet. Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said. Shall never die. Earlier, Jesus will be confronted by the Sadducees. Sadducees are part of the hierarchy of church, and they don't believe in any type of a resurrection, any type of a bodily resurrection. So Jesus tells them, and Gnosis clearly proves that the dead are raised to life. In a passage about the burning bush, he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus continues, he is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. For to him, all are alive. Stop and think about it. Only living people can have a God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they have a God. So they are alive. Their souls are with God now. And their bodies, Jesus is saying, will one day be raised. The list of God's resurrections are still not done. Your name has been added to that list of resurrections yet to come, added by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Because of Jesus' resurrection and our resurrections yet to come, all God's people can say, Amen.